When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Josh Larkey, and this is The Dominator. With the NFL salary cap going up, there were a lot of moves that have already been made in free agency this week. I'm going to discuss 23 of these moves, rapid fire, the trades and signings where I have an actual take compared to the market. I'm mainly going to reference early 2024 best ball ADPs on Underdog Fantasy throughout. But for the Dynasty enthusiasts, don't worry. This show's still going to have a ton of value. Understanding which players are going to be performing above or below 2024 expectations, folks, that affects their Dynasty value. Also, there were about a dozen pretty important veteran running back moves that have been made. And we shouldn't really be looking at more than a 1 to 2 year window for almost every single running back in Dynasty anyway, outside of a select few. So a 2024 outlook is then going to be supremely important. Again, I'm going to go in order of relevance with more of the big names early on. However, I will save my favorite under-the-radar move for the end of the show. And I will leave you with my current redraft rankings for round one at the end as well, since there might be some surprises there. And if you want more, you want to ask me questions, post-show, anything like that, my Twitter is at JLarkeyTweets. My DMs are open. The comment section is always open, folks. I'm going to have dynasty rankings, rookie rankings up soon, posted to Twitter. All right, let's get right into it. Saquon Barkley goes to the Eagles. We know this. 3 years, $38 million. $26 million guaranteed. It's pretty much a two-year deal when you look at the actual contract details. Another important one was Josh Jacobs going to the Packers. 4 years, $48 million. Just $12.5 million guaranteed, though. So it could actually quietly, sneakily be a one-year deal for Jacobs. Either way, we've got Saquon in Philadelphia. Jacobs in Green Bay. Folks, let's start off with some spice. Here is why right now I actually prefer Josh Jacobs to Saquon Barkley for 2024 redraft. Obviously, if the market is quite different than that, we don't need to pull the trigger on Jacobs ahead of Saquon. It just means that I'm going to have probably a lot more Josh Jacobs than Saquon Barkley in fantasy. First, both have had some good and some mediocre seasons by next-gen stats. Rush yards above expectation per attempt, essentially. Per rush attempt, how many rush yards are they getting? Better or worse compared to the blocking, what the defense is doing? It's looking at player tracking data. So both of them, we'll say similar runners, maybe a slight edge in terms of consistency to Josh Jacobs, slight edge and big playability to Saquon Barkley. Now, if we look at the offensive environments, I like both these offenses a lot. The Eagles, oh, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert. We like that core. We now insert Saquon Barkley. Third highest scoring offense in 2022. Dropped a little bit to seventh in 2023. Packers, Jordan Love, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Dontavian Wicks, Romeo Doubs, Luke Musgrave. Not as many necessarily stars at the top as the Eagles, but it's a deeper group of skill players. This was the 12th highest scoring offense last year, despite being the NFL's youngest and despite having a litany of injuries at running back with Aaron Jones, receiver. If we think about it, I mean, come on, guys. Jaden Reed missed some time. Christian Watson missed time. Luke Musgrave missed some time. It was a lot of injuries going on there. I'd say that overall, after 7th highest scoring offense for Eagles last year, 12th for the Packers last year, I can confidently say that both of these offenses right now do look like top 10 scoring offenses for 2024. The problem for Saquon is that Jalen Hurts takes rushing touchdowns. Jalen Hurts had 10 rushing touchdowns in 2021, 13 in 2022, set the NFL record with 15 rushing touchdowns by a quarterback in 2023. 10, 13, 15. Jordan Love comes in at 4. Oh, I think we might like that for Josh Jacobs. Maybe without center Jason Kelce, the Eagles tush push, brotherly shove, whatever the heck you want to call it. Maybe that changes. Maybe they signed Saquon to take the tush push and protect Jalen Hurts' health. But that is all speculation. I think right now what we should assume as the most likely outcome is that the NFL's most efficient one-yard play from 2023 continues in 2024 with Jalen Hurts at the helm of it. Touchdown upside. We're going to give this slight edge, maybe a large edge, depending on how you want to look at it, to Josh Jacobs. Now we get to pass catching. Jalen Hurts is much more mobile than Jordan Love, and generally mobile quarterbacks are not going to check the ball down to the running backs as much. If we think about it logically, why would Jalen Hurts check the ball down if he has legs and he's good at running and he can just run for the first down? Jordan Love, not as mobile. Rather than a running for the first down, he's probably going to simply check the ball down. Now, Aaron Jones did not play much in 2023 due to injuries, but when he was on the field, his target share on those plays when he was on the field was 25.5%. Whew! That is huge when he's on the field. On the field, DeAndre Swift was at 18%. When Kenny Gainwell was the running back on the field, it was 16%. That's a huge difference. Jones at 25.5%, Swift 18%, Gainwell 16%. Essentially, when a running back who can catch passes is on the field, Love is probably going to target them at a significantly higher rate than Jalen Hurts. Saquon Barkley is also coming off career lows with 2.9 receptions, 20 receiving yards a game. Last year, Swift averaged less than half as many receiving yards per game in Philadelphia compared to his three seasons in Detroit, less than half as many receiving yards a game. Saquon, again, coming off career lows in all those stats. And it's not like Saquon was competing with any receivers, tight ends of note last year on the Giants. There was really just not much there in terms of skill players stealing targets. And here's the kicker. Josh Jacobs has actually been a more productive receiving back per game over the past 3 years than Saquon Barkley. Check the numbers. I'm not making this up. The past 3 years, Jacobs has averaged 3.2 receptions per game. So has Saquon. Jacobs, 23 receiving yards per game. Saquon, only 20 receiving yards per game. Wow. The early March best ball ADP on Underdog Fantasy had Saquon Barkley at ADP 23, late round 2. Jacobs at pick 59, late round 5. That's early March. Now, post-landing spots in free agency. Saquon went from 23 up to 16. Jacobs went from 59 up to 39. I think the market's got it right with Jacobs. He should shoot up dramatically. I don't think Saquon Barkley's ADP should have changed. Maybe I think it should have dropped a little bit, but overall, we can't nitpick too much there. I think Saquon's a round 2, round 3 turn pick. And I really think straight up Josh Jacobs scores more fantasy points. So with Jacobs' ADP, I'm going to have a lot more of him in best ball if he's going significantly later than Saquon. And I just won't have as much Saquon because of the touchdown concerns and the receiving concerns that I just mentioned. Kirk Cousins goes to the Falcons. 4 years, $180 million, $90 million guaranteed. When you look at the contract details, it's a three-year deal. He's coming off the Achilles. I hope he's fine. I think he's fine. But, hey, I guess we'll find out week one. I think Kirk Cousins is pretty bland. Low-end fantasy quarterback one upside, depending on the pass volume, how the pass touchdowns shake out. Maybe he's a fantasy QB too. He's in that QB 11 to 17 range, like a lot of guys. What I think is more interesting, though, is running back Bijan Robinson. Looks like a locked-in first-round pick now. The market had him at ADP 8 on Underdog before Kirk Cousins. After Kirk Cousins, he goes from pick 8 to pick 6. I will detail at the end of the show again where I'm ranking Bijan Robinson right now in redraft and best ball. Might be higher than that. The stats look great. He was third in running back target share last year. Team's going to pass a lot more with Kirk Cousins, which should result in more targets. He was fifth in weighted opportunities per game, according to Player Profiler for Bijan. That's going to weight carries and targets based on the fantasy points we should expect per carry and per target. He was already fifth. That includes the headache game where Bijan had one carry. I'm very, very, very in on Bijan Robinson. I think Drake London should become a round 2, round 3 turn pick in fantasy football. He had 29% target share in 2022 as a rookie, though Pitts missed about half that season due to injury. 2023, the London target share drops from 29% to 23% because Kyle Pitts stays healthy, and that is pretty much what I think we should expect for this next year. Mid to low 20s target share for Drake London. with a very, very good quarterback in Kirk Cousins. Kyle Pitts, I think, should become a round four or round five fantasy pick. There's no more Jonnu Smith stealing routes and targets. I know some people out there, they're like, well, Josh, I checked the contracts. They brought in tight end Charlie Werner on a multi-year deal. The Falcons did. Don't worry, guys. He is a pure blocking tight end. He does not catch passes. Just like Kirk Cousins had tight end Josh Oliver last year, getting 40 to 50% of the snaps in each game. I don't think anybody out there was like, Josh Oliver is the reason tight end TJ Hawkinson is terrible in fantasy. So I actually like that there is a blocking tight end, because if we think about it like this in terms of target competition, if we're going to have 40 to 50% of the snaps with a blocking tight end, Charlie Werner, with Kyle Pitts on the field, and probably running back Bijan Robinson in the backfield, three of the five skill players are accounted for. Two tight ends and Bijan. That leaves two receivers. That is exactly what we want for Kyle Pitts, for Drake London to get a lot of targets. What you don't actually want for someone like Kyle Pitts is a lot of 11 personnel, or one running back, one tight end, and then three receivers on the field, because that's more receivers to compete with. We want Pitts competing essentially with one guy that's a non-factor out of those five skill players in Charlie Werner. Early March, Kirk Cousins' best ball ADP was 136. It rose to 126. That feels about fair. I don't have too many takes there. Bijan, again, his ADP went from 8 to 6. We'll discuss that more at the end of the show. London's average draft position was at the 3-4 turn. It has now risen to the kind of the 2-3 turn. It's gone up about a full round. And that's getting a little rich for me, but I don't want to be fully out at that ADP. The one I'm really excited about is Kyle Pitts went from pick 88 to pick 71. Oh, man, that is nowhere close to the round four, round five ADP I'd be willing to draft Kyle Pitts at. Diontae Johnson traded to the Panthers for cornerback Dante Jackson, going back to the Steelers. I'm not going to pretend like I have too many hot takes on a cornerback, but if you look at PFF grades, Dante Jackson's been in the fifth. He's been living in the 50s and low 60s the past three seasons. That's terrible. Diontae Johnson, though, is awesome. He will be a free agent after 2024. He's essentially right now in Carolina for 1 year. But let's talk about this 1 year. I'm excited. I think he's pretty elite at getting open. The stats show that. The past 2 years, 28% target share on the field with Kenny Pickett. 28% target share when on the field with Mitch Trubisky. 26% target share on the field with Mason Rudolph. This is a super high target earner. Folks, Adam Thielen, cooked and in his mid-30s, had 103 receptions last year with Bryce Young. I think Diontae can hit 120 if he stays healthy. Diontae Johnson was going at ADP 98 early best ball drafts. That's gone up to ADP 83, which is late seventh round. Folks, I am treating Diontae Johnson, player comp wise for fantasy, like budget Amon-Ra St. Brown right now. I think Diontae Johnson should be a round four pick. You can take him in round seven right now. That is amazing. I am going to have very, very high exposure right now to Diontae Johnson in best ball. And then he looks like a pretty good dynasty trade target if I have significantly higher expectations for him this year than the market. Derrick Henry signed with the Baltimore Ravens, 2 years, $16 million, $9 million guaranteed. It's essentially a one-year deal. Folks, the perfect fit for Derrick Henry. I'm not telling you anything new, though, but let's talk about a couple stats quickly, and then we'll move on, because I think we should all love Derrick Henry in this landing spot. Derrick Henry's now 30 years old, but last year he had a 90 PFF grade. That's elite. Next gen stats player tracking data had Henry at 0.3, so about one third rushing yards above expected per attempt. So every three attempts, Derrick Henry's getting one more rushing yard than he should be expected to get last year. That's awesome. We've talked about it on so many shows and the Player Profiler Network about how Lamar Jackson and his legs help running back efficiency. Linebackers can't just key in on the running back, they have to worry about Lamar Jackson as well. Gus Edwards, 4.9 career yards per carry. He also had 13 rushing touchdowns this past year. J.K. Dobbins, 5.8 career yards per carry. Justice Hill, 4.6 career yards per carry. Justice Hill's not even good. Still over 4.5 career yards per carry. I think Henry's firmly in play for close to 300 carries, 1,500 rushing yards, 15 to 20 rushing touchdowns in 2024. I think he should be an early to mid round three fantasy pick in these half PPR type formats. You can bump him up to round two for standard scoring. His ADP was at the 5-6 turn in best ball drafts around pick 60-61. It's now gone all the way up to pick 44. That's mid round four. I think he should be going in the third round of underdog. Great trade target for contending teams in Dynasty. Great underdog fantasy basketball selection. I had a viral tweet at Jay Lurkey Tweets earlier this week. I was basically making fun of the Titans for signing Calvin Ridley to a four-year, $92 million deal. Let's talk about it, though, in terms of fantasy impact. So last year, Calvin Ridley had 136 targets. He caught 76 for just over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. Pretty inefficient. But he was playing with Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence is probably pretty good. Shouldn't we expect similar, if not worse, efficiency going from Trevor Lawrence to Will Levis? Also, Calvin Ridley benefited because Christian Kirk was hurt for much of last year with injuries. So then there's a target spike for Calvin Ridley. I think DeAndre Hopkins is the number one in this offense. Ridley's probably the number two. I think it's going to be a well below average scoring offense. You're going to need more efficiency from Ridley compared to last year and heavy pass volume from the Titans. Ridley's ADP before this move was ADP 56 on underdog. It's now ADP 58. The market is dropping him a touch. I think they are right to downgrade him. Even at pick 58, that still feels a touch rich to me overall. I think there's going to be a few big games, but this is a wide receiver who turns 30 years old in December. He's playing with a quarterback in Will Levis. That's probably not very good. He's still competing with DeAndre Hopkins. And we'll talk about the running back moves right now as well, because Tony Pollard also just signed with the Tennessee Titans. And I think there's probably going to be some running back touches to go around, because we've got Pollard signing with the Titans, three-year, $24 million deal, just $10.5 million guaranteed, basically a two-year deal. He's going to split work with running back Tajay Spears. I think they're both kind of good. So I don't think it's just going to be, oh, let's let Will Levis completely air it out, when he's probably not very good based on college profile and what he did last year. And I think Pollard and Spears are actually kind of good. My current guess, 60-40 split in favor of Tony Pollard over Spears. I think Tony Pollard should be a late round five, early round six pick in fantasy right now. I think Spears should drop all the way to round nine or round 10. Pollard's ADP has stayed at pick 79. So for me, I think there's a little value there. Wow. He had almost no Tony Pollard last year. I didn't like him as the absolute bell cow. I thought he wouldn't survive in that role. And he really didn't. But I mean, come on, pick 79. Let's bump that up a little bit. Spears' ADP plummeted from pick 68 down to ADP of 91. So he's now around 8 pick. I think that's still a touch pricey for Tajay Spears. I really don't think they brought Tony Pollard in to sit behind Tajay Spears. Tajay Spears looked good on small sample efficiency last year, but again, small sample efficiency. If you can run a mile in 5 minutes, can you run 2 miles in 10 minutes? Probably not. Running backs are humans. They get tired. He was getting very few touches a game last year, and I think that's why Spears was so efficient. Not that he's a bad player. I think he's probably okay. Maybe good. I just think Pollard is probably better. So my take on the Titans right now is Will Levis looks like a good later round quarterback. They're surrounding him with some talent. Ridley, a little bit skeptical of his price. Hopkins goes a lot later. I think I'd rather just draft DeAndre Hopkins in best ball instead of Ridley, who goes much earlier. And right now I prefer Pollard to Spears based on their ADPs. Let's hit on DeAndre Swift now. He also signed the three-year, $24 million deal, much like Pollard, but rather than $10.5 million guaranteed, $14 million guaranteed. Also a two-year deal in terms of how the contract actually looks. Because these contracts, they're always inflated. It's like, oh, three-year, $24 million deal. But if they cut him after 2 years, it's $1 million in dead cap. And it's like, huh, interesting. Two-year deal. All right, so anyway, DeAndre Swift, he had the career high 1,049 rush yards last year with the Eagles. At one point in his career in 2021, he had a 62-catch season. So we've seen some rushing upside, some receiving upside. I think he's the workhorse back for a Chicago team that's probably selecting quarterback Caleb Williams at pick one in the draft. I think Swift might even have fantasy RB1 upside, depending on what the touch split looks like with running back Khalil Herbert. I think Swift's going to get first crack at goal line carries. I'd say that Swift's pass-catching ability just kind of neuters running back Roschon Johnson. I really have no interest in Roschon. Without an injury to Swift, I don't know what he does. Khalil Herbert's actually a pretty good pure rusher. Some stats would say that he is a better pure rusher than Swift at times, so I think he still has some kind of little role. with the team. Roschon, I just don't know what's going on there. He was a round four pick. They've got nothing invested in him. The skill set becomes redundant. Swift's ADP was 103. It's risen to 90 after this. I think Swift should be going in the 50s or 60s near Kenneth Walker and Aaron Jones. Well, I'll discuss Aaron Jones later. I see massive value right now on Swift. Roschon's ADP dropped from 127 to 157. Herbert dropped from 144 to 168. I think the market has that wrong. Not that I don't think both of them should drop. I just would rather take Khalil Herbert over Roschon Johnson right now in fantasy football. Folks, before we turn to some more very exciting moves, we'll touch on Russell Wilson, Joe Mixon, many others coming up. Let's hear a quick word from the Podfather.
Now, I know many of you are looking for a secret weapon for your Dynasty League, and I have it. It's called the Dynasty Dominator app. You go to the App Store, go to Google Play. It's right there. It's $5 to download, and then every year it's $5 to load the next incoming class of rookies. You can add Superflex, add tight end premium. It's incredible because it allows you to look up players. It allows you to vote on whether a player is a buy, hold, or sell, and then see the market sentiment on that player. And you can compare their lifetime value rating from Player Profiler to their Dynasty ADP at the FFPC, all in the price lookup tool. And beyond that, we have a trade analyzer. So you'll never lose another Dynasty trade again. And in our settings, you can set this is a win now team, this is a rebuilding team. And then we let you compare players. Look at their metrics side by side. Prospect metrics, NFL metrics. It's all there. It's $5 in the App Store. There's some add-ons for Superflex and to buy the upcoming rookie class. Every year, you're going to spend $5 on this thing. And it's going to be well worth it.
Folks, I will spare you from the $5 footlong song. Let's talk about Subway's own Russell Wilson. He goes to the Steelers. 1 year, $1.2 million. That's the veteran minimum. The Broncos are now eating $38 million of this. Quietly, Russell Wilson was the quarterback 12 in fantasy points per game last year. He has George Pickens. He has Pat Freiermuth. Deontay Johnson's been traded, so I have to imagine the team's going to bolster their wide receiver core in the draft. So I can't get too excited yet about just raw projections for Pickens and Freiermuth after this loss of Deontay Johnson for the team, gain of Russell Wilson. There was breaking news about 15 minutes ago. Kenny Pickett's an Eagle. I don't think he matters. Doesn't matter. Anyway, I think that George Pickens, this is a popular take that he's Cortland Sutton plus. I think that's what he is, the big-bodied outside receiver. I think there could be some real upside there if the team doesn't take a receiver early in the draft. The ADP for George Pickens on Underdog has gone from 63 up to 55. I'm going to take some shots on him at pick 55 now that Russ is there. Deontay's gone. Freiermuth's risen from pick 145 barely to pick 143. Taking some shots on him too. It's going to be probably a run-heavy offense, but I think there's real touchdown upside for both these guys. Russell Wilson, even on the Broncos, was often a high touchdown quarterback in terms of touchdown rate. He was truly, truly historically elite during his Seahawks tenure at pass touchdown rate. And he actually wasn't even half bad with the Broncos last year. You look at his touchdown interception ratio from last year, and it's much better than you expect. So I think best ball, at least right now, I'm going to take some shots on Russ with the Pickens Freiermuth stacks. Still like Najee Harris and Jalen Warren's ADPs because it's Arthur Smith now in there as offensive coordinator. Probably going to be run heavy. The offensive line should actually be half decent this year. Let's talk about Joe Mixon now. Traded to the Texans for a seventh rounder. Then reportedly signed a three-year $27 million extension. But you look at SpoTrack, you look at Over the Cap, the contract websites. They both have it as a two-year $20 million deal. So I'm not sure what's going on there. Anyway, the guaranteed money is $13 million. That looks closer to a one, probably two-year deal. So we'll assume Mixon's there for a couple years. And here's what's strange. I prefer Joe Mixon in Dynasty compared to Redraft after this move. And here's why I can prefer him in one format and not the other. Why I like Joe Mixon in Dynasty, not as much Redraft. Dynasty, you're going to have 6 to 8 teams contending each year. Some teams are going to be rebuilding. Some teams are just kind of stuck in the middle. The bar is going to be potentially be a little bit lower for how many teams you need to be better than each year in Dynasty. Redraft, all 12 teams are competing each year. So already you have more competition. I'd say Mixon looks like a dead zone back for Redraft, where he's an older and inefficient veteran in a situation that screams, he's getting touches in a great offense. And we often know how this goes. It often doesn't end quite as well as we hope. Dynasty, I think he's this perfect cheap fantasy RB2 that you stick into your roster. And if you have some good quarterbacks, some good receivers, and super flex, you're totally set. But in redraft, I just start to get wary of this profile where if he underperforms in redraft, you're competing with 11 other teams. That's tough. Dynasty, if he underwhelms a little bit, you're still fine. You just need him to do something in the RB2 slot where hopefully you have some really good young receivers and some good quarterbacks. Average draft position on Underdog Fantasy Best Ball went from 89 all the way up to 74, as it should. Mixon should rise going to the Texans. That's a great landing spot. I think 74 is fine for him. I'm going to take him there. I think he's probably going to settle in the 50s of ADP. That's going to be getting quite rich for me. You can see in the background for those watching live, I am a Chargers fan. I grew up in San Diego. It's been a frustrating relationship, me and the Chargers. Anyway, yesterday got rid of Keenan Allen. He's now a Chicago Bear. Fourth round pick came back to the Chargers. There's 1 year remaining on the veterans deal. I think it's kind of a toss-up if Keenan Allen or DJ Moore leads the team in targets when both are healthy. I'm going to give a slight edge in all formats to DJ Moore. He's younger. He's better after the catch. He's got one more year of experience on the Bears. Prior to this trade, DJ Moore's ADP was 16. Now it dropped to 17. It'll probably drop a little more. That's still really early. That's mid-second round. Keenan Allen's ADP beforehand was 37. It dropped a little bit to 38. That also makes sense. If you think Keenan Allen was going to be a Charger, we should probably drop him a little bit when he's not catching passes from Justin Herbert anymore. But I don't think the market should be this far off with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. Like I said, I don't know who leads the team in targets necessarily when healthy. So I think DJ Moore should probably be an early round three pick. And then I think I'd take Keenan Allen in the fourth round. Caleb Williams should be great for a rookie, but again, he's a rookie quarterback. Most of them are not CJ Stroud or Justin Herbert as rookies. I think you get the Joe Burrow rookie season, which is probably like not a bad outcome, honestly, for Caleb Williams in terms of what we're going to think of him, dynasty, and projecting him forward. And that would actually not be a great outcome for DJ Moore or Keenan Allen. Speaking of some former Chargers, Austin Eckler signed with the Washington Commanders, 2 years, $11.5 million, just $4 million guaranteed. It's pretty much a one-year deal. Wow, I thought he was going to go for more money than this. Chargers fan over here, I would have 2 years, $11 million, I would have just kept him. Anyway, he's going to be splitting work with running back Brian Robinson. We think we should expect Brian Robinson, who has 30 to 40 pounds on Eckler, to get the goal line carries. I think Eckler is going to get the targets. I do not like this for Eckler. The Commanders, another move they made on the side was Marcus Mariota. They signed him to backup quarterback money. He's pretty mobile. Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU, is pretty mobile, much more mobile than Drake May even. Right now, the signs with Marcus Mariota would point towards them leaning Jaden Daniels at pick two. And I mean, if you have a mobile quarterback, I don't think that's great for a pass catcher like Austin Eckler. I start to worry he's just better Antonio Gibson for fantasy. Maybe. We hope so. The quarterback situation could be bad for him. Eckler's ADP was 82. It dropped to 86. That feels about right. I think it should probably drop a little more, maybe. Brian Robinson fell from 91 to 101. That makes sense. Brian Robinson's ADP should drop as well. However, with Eckler at pick 86, Robinson at pick 101, I'm going to have more Robinson right now than Eckler. I think just straight up, I'd probably prefer Robinson in a half PPR format like Underdog because he's going to get more touchdowns most likely. Eckler's been a really inefficient goal line back with the Chargers. He scored a lot, but it's because the Chargers offense just scores a lot in general. He got a lot of chances. And he was not always as efficient as you would hope. I think the bigger-bodied Brian Robinson takes a lot of those high-value touches. All right, pessimistic with Eckler. Time to be optimistic, folks. I have a strong take compared to the market. I love, love, love burritos, as many of you know. I also love Curtis Samuel signing 3 years, $30 million with the Buffalo Bills. $15 million guaranteed. It's kind of like a two-year deal. He's generally been an 18 to 19% target share guy. He's been targeted on about 22% of his routes, which is better than his target share because he's rarely been a full-time player. He turns 28 in August. He's still so young. He's still in his prime. This is a much better target earning profile than Gabe Davis with more rush attempts for Curtis Samuel. Lower average depth of target. I get it. I really like Samuel in these PPR, these half PPR formats. His ADP has risen from 179 up to 168 on Underdog. Guys, keep it rising. I think Curtis Samuel should be like going like, what, round 8, round 9? Pick 90 to pick 100? He's playing on the Buffalo Bills. It's Stephon Diggs, who's 30 and had a massive decline last year as the season went along. Tight end Dalton Kincaid looked okay at times. He looked good, but he's still a tight end. Curtis Samuel has a path to pretty, pretty heavy target volume from Josh Allen. We've been talking a lot in the media has been talking about, oh, the Bills have really trimmed payroll. They were over the cap by quite a bit. The defense should be significantly worse than last year. Good. Good for Curtis Samuel. More pass volume. I want them to trail in more games. Very, very, very optimistic myself on Curtis Samuel. Gardner Minshew to the Raiders. 2 years, $25 million, $15 million guaranteed. I looked at the contract language. It looks like a two-year deal. Davante Adams' ADP went from 21 to 20. Still around two pick. Not too much changed. He's pretty expensive. Veteran receiver? Fine. I don't have too many takes there. But. Jacoby Myers' ADP has still hovered around pick 100. Myers had crazy splits last year with Aiden O'Connell targeted on 16% of his routes. Terrible. 1.3 yards per route run. Terrible. 12 fantasy points per game. Whatever. But with Jimmy Garoppolo, 26% targets per route run. That's incredible. That is high-end wide receiver 2 in fantasy, low-end wide receiver 1 in fantasy type levels. 2.2 yards per out run. That's, again, awesome. 18 fantasy points per game, low-end fantasy wide receiver 1. Wow. I don't think he's really going to do that again. I think there was a little bit of a – he ran pretty pure with touchdowns, but still. I think the floor with Jacoby Myers rises with Gardner Minshew. I think he should become a round 6 fantasy pick. Take him around pick 70. But right now you can get him at pick 100. I'm going to have a lot of Jacoby Myers. The team is probably in the market for a quarterback. But with Minshew there, at the very least, this quarterback now has to outcompete Gardner Minshew as a rookie, whoever the rookie is, rather than outcompeting Aiden O'Connell, which is much easier. I think we're going to get some Minshew starts. Overall, much higher floor for this Raiders offense. Very, very in right now on Jacoby Myers' ADP. Gardner Minshew, not too many takes. He's fine. He had 3,300 passing yards last year, 15 passing touchdowns, a little bit of rushing. It's not that exciting. You're probably looking at the quarterback 20 to 30 in fantasy points per game, depending how the touchdowns shake out. Gabe Davis, he signed with the Jags. Jacksonville Jaguars paid him 3 years, $39 million, $24 million guaranteed. But when you look at the contract language, it's probably going to end up being a full three-year deal. Gabe Davis, let's think of him on this Jags team as lesser Calvin Ridley. He's just a best ball pick right now. It's hard to see him being consistently fantasy relevant. If Gabe Davis couldn't succeed consistently at Josh Allen's wide receiver 2, then he's probably going to be a little bit disappointing as Trevor Lawrence's third pass game option behind Christian Kirk and Evan Engram. Yet, crazy folks, I am in on Gabe Davis right now because the ADP went up from 139 to 129. That's it, just 129. I think he probably should be going at pick 90 to pick 100. Good chance Kirk or Engram misses some time at some points, which could create spike target games for Gabe Davis. He also just is a player that has a high depth of target and can have those spike weeks where 3 catches, 80 yards and a touchdown, 3 catches, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns, whatever it might be. There's real best ball upside there. So I don't really like Gabe Davis in fantasy football. Redraft, not really in on him in Dynasty, but purely for Underdog best ball, I actually surprisingly feel like my expectations for him are a little bit above market right now. Zach Moss. For those of you that listened to the Mind of Mansion episode that I guested on with Matt Kelly a few weeks ago, I talked about Zach Moss as one of my 2 or 3 absolute favorite best ball values when he was going at pick 164. That has now risen to pick 122 since, and I think it should keep going up. He signed with the Bengals 2 years, $8 million. $3 million guaranteed. It's basically a one-year deal. He was 6th in next-gen stats in terms of rushing for 0.7 more yards per expected each attempt. Every 10 carries, he got 7 more rushing yards than expected. That's awesome. That was 6th in the NFL last year. He was a true fantasy RB1 when Jonathan Taylor was hurt early in the year. He doesn't offer too much as a pass catcher. I think we should all think running back Chase Brown probably improves a little bit in pass protection. I think he's the likeliest candidate to be the third down back, but I don't think it's set in stone. So I think at the very least, Zach Moss is a pretty big threat for first and second down work, maybe even some third down work, depending on Chase Brown and how he progresses from his rookie year. 2023 Gus Edwards season feels like a pretty good range of outcomes for Zach Moss. About 200 carries, 800 rushing yards, 13 rushing touchdowns. I think the touchdown upside could be there for Moss. I think he should be going in the ADP 90 range. I mean, right now, I think I'd rather have Zach Moss than Tajay Spears. I think he should be going with Brian Robinson, with Javonte Williams. They're going in the pick 90 to 100 range. Keep pushing the draft button on Zach Moss. All right, let's talk about the Chargers again. Gus Edwards signed with them 2 years, $6.5 million, just over $3 million guaranteed. It's a 1 year deal. I just talked about his stats, 200 carries, 800 rushing yards, 13 rushing touchdowns last year, 30 career receptions over his five seasons. This is a bruiser back in the purest of forms. It's a throwback style. I like this. He's touchdown dependent as a fantasy option. We got the run heavy head coach, Jim Harbaugh. We've got quarterback Justin Herbert. I think Herbert keeps the offense's floor at least moderately respectable. The skill position room is a joke right now with Gus Edwards as the running back, Josh Palmer, Quentin Johnston in the receiving room, Will Disley at tight end. It's hilarious, folks. I get it. But it's still Justin Herbert. I think it might be respectable. They're probably drafting a wide receiver. They could still sign somebody. Gus Edwards is probably a better best ball pick than redraft option just because you don't necessarily know when the touchdown spikes come. Because without a touchdown, he's probably not doing much. But rightfully so, the ADP has gone up from 188 up to pick 151 on underdog. I think Gus Edwards should probably go closer to the 130s. That's a Zach Charbonnet, Jerome Ford range. That feels more appropriate for Gus Edwards. I think they draft a running back, but I still think Gus Edwards, huge body, 240 pounds, probably going to get 8 to 12 rushing touchdowns this upcoming season. Sam Darnold to the Vikings. 1 year, $10 million. I have almost no Sam Darnold takes other than he now has an ADP on underdog, and I think we should draft him at the end just because of the supporting cast. But I think where this really affects us is early in our drafts. There's a lot of Vikings going on. So first off, I think the Vikings probably go rookie quarterback this year. They made a trade with, I forget, but the Vikings essentially have pick. Well, I can't remember who they made the trade with. But anyway, the Vikings essentially have pick 11 and pick 23 in the draft. Now they could very well package that, send it to a team like the Chargers who are picking at 5 and don't necessarily need a quarterback, and they might take a JJ McCarthy. We'll kind of see what happens. But as of right now, I'm downgrading wide receiver Justin Jefferson. He was a very early first round fantasy pick. I think he should be going late first round. We'll hit on that in my first round redraft rankings very, very shortly. But yeah, Justin Jefferson, I'm totally out on right now. Some people out there are like, Justin Jefferson averaged 20 fantasy points per game without Kirk Cousins in those four games last year that he played. That's very frustrating to me. We need to unpack that. Let's look at those four games. Two of them were against the Lions, bottom three secondary. One of them was against the Bengals, sneakily a bottom three secondary. Quarterbacks had the most pass yards per attempt against the Bengals of any team last year. Bengals, terrible secondary. The one reasonable secondary he faced without Kirk Cousins was the Packers. 5 catches, 59 yards. Not exciting. I do not care that Nick Mullins threw for 300 yards against the Bengals and then the Lions twice. Great. They just let him air it out. He had a ton of picks against those terrible secondaries. We shouldn't really factor that into Justin Jefferson and his fantasy production expectations. Wide receiver Jordan Addison, I wouldn't draft him until the 7th or 8th round right now. He currently goes at the 5-6 turn. Way too rich for me. Tight end TJ Hawkinson's coming off the ACL tear. I'm just not interested. His ADP dropped a little bit. I don't think he should be very much on your fantasy radar. I think the only guy here to really look at in the pass game would be Sam Darnold, just because of how great the supporting cast is. Keep him on your Superflex Dynasty radar. Late round best ball pick, I approve. Aaron Jones is also on the Vikings. 1 year, $7 million deal. Jacobs goes to the Packers. Packers release Aaron Jones. Division rival Vikings scoop him up. 1 year, $7 million. His ADP has stayed in the mid-60s. I don't have too many takes here. I think I'd probably just look at other options in round 6. Vikings offense does not feel like an offense I want to be in on for 2024. Not a lot of touchdown upside. And I think the target share might not be great either, because we have Jefferson, Addison, Hawkinson, all going to command heavy targets. That just doesn't leave that many, most likely, for Aaron Jones. Dalton Schultz, 3-year, $36 million deal, $23.5 million guaranteed. It's about a 2-year deal, essentially. I think he's a trap. We like the money. We like that CJ Stroud is his quarterback. But I did some research. When Dalton Schultz, Nico Collins, and Tank Dell shared the field last year, Collins and Dell each had 24% target shares. Dalton Schultz was down at 19%. Then you look at yards per route run when they share the field, and it's catastrophic for Schultz. Nico Collins, 2.5 yards per route run. That's awesome. We love that. Tank Dell, 2.3 yards per route run. That's awesome. We love that. Dalton Schultz was not at 2.5. He was not at 2.3 yards per route run. He was at 1.1. It's like Quentin Johnston level. What the heck is going on here? They had about 5 games worth of routes on the field together. So it's enough of a sample to know that this ridiculous difference in efficiency probably means something. Nico Collins was averaging about 15 fantasy points per game when they were all on the field. Tank Dell was at 18.5. That's very good for Collins, very good for Dell. Schultz was just at 9. There's just so many tight ends out there that can give you similar production. Schultz looks like one of the more expensive ones at that. The Schultz ADP has risen from 128 to 122. I think that's fine at 122. It's fine. I'll take him sometimes. And Stroud stacks, I think it's going to keep rising, and then I'm probably going to be out pretty soon, because I think right now I'd probably take Dallas Goedert and Cole Kmet, maybe ahead of Schultz. Definitely Dallas Goedert at the very least. And he's knocking on the door of Dallas Goedert's ADP. He'll probably pass him soon. I just don't see much upside without injuries. Texans still pretty live to draft a receiver. Noah Brown on the Texans. 1-year, $4 million deal. He stays a Texan. Last year, Noah Brown had games with 172, 153, and 82 receiving yards. There's injury contingent fantasy upside if something happens to Collins or Tank Dell. He's had at least 555 receiving yards in his past 2 seasons. I think he's a good late-round best ball pick, given the offense. I don't have too much appeal in traditional redraft leagues or dynasty. The ADP is rising in best ball. It's now up to pick 214. If I needed to, folks, I would take him in the 180s. So Josh Larkey out there, myself, sees some value on Noah Brown. We've got one more move to discuss. Then I will discuss my under-the-radar favorite move, and I'll hit you with my redraft rankings. Again, I'm Josh Larkey at JLarkeyTweaks. Make sure you are plugged into everything. Player profile, look at the Dynasty Dominator app. Check out the all-in package. Get those Dynasty rankings. I will have my Dynasty rankings on my Twitter. I'll be putting those out for free. The player profiler ones probably have a lot more effort going into them. Not that mine are bad, per se, but those have more effort and you have to pay for them, and rightfully so. I would recommend doing that. Anyway, Jonnu Smith, 2 years, $10 million deal with the Miami Dolphins, $4 million guaranteed. It's basically a 1-year deal. If we look at Jonnu Smith, he had the 8 touchdown season in 2020 with the Titans. He's now coming off a career high, very frustrating for Kyle Pitts enthusiasts. Career high 582 receiving yards in 2023 with the Falcons. He's just one of these many tight ends in circulation, I think, Jonnu Smith, that has fantasy low-end fantasy tight end one potential. He's the third best pass catcher in Miami right now behind Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. I think his ceiling this year could be 60 catches, 700 yards, 8 touchdowns. Suddenly he's like the tight end 6, tight end 7 in fantasy. That's pretty good. I think the likely outcome's 50 catches, 550 yards, 5 touchdowns. He didn't really have a best ball ADP in early March. It's up to ADP 191 now. I'm pretty bullish. I think he should be going at pick 150. That's slightly ahead of Michael Mayer and Cade Otton. Michael Mayer behind both Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers in not a great offense. Cade Otton behind Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Rashad White for targets. Cade Otton stinks. He's not athletic. He does not give you fantasy points. Could not imagine taking Cade Otton ahead of Jonnu Smith right now if I were you. Here's my favorite move in terms of fantasy compared to expectations and where I'm going to be really bullish. Marquise Brown just signed with the Chiefs last night. 1 year, $7 million. Marquise Brown has been a 23 to 26% target share kind of guy. I think that's probably closer to the 23% range, maybe a touch below that with Kansas City because they have Rashee Rice. Travis Kelce turns 35 years old in October. There's some quiet retirement rumors out there. We'll assume for now he plays. But anyway, I think Marquise Brown will be the light version of Tyreek Hill in Kansas City in terms of role and fantasy production. Hill was kind of a 25% target share guy at times. He was putting up 16 to 22 fantasy points a game in Kansas City. Rashee Rice had a 26% target share, averaged 17 fantasy points per game from week 12 onward last year. That includes the playoffs. That's a 10-game sample. That's healthy. 10-game sample. Rashee Rice ends the season 26% target share, 17 fantasy points per game. I don't think Marquise Brown's going to be that far behind Rashee Rice. Marquise Brown's ADP was 108 in the past about 16 hours. It has risen to ADP 104 from 108. Keep pushing the draft button on Marquise Brown. I would take him in the round five, round six turn area if I absolutely had to. I think there's massive spike week potential. Major buy in all formats. Love him in redraft this year, most likely compared to expectations. I'm trading for him everywhere in Dynasty. And you might be like, Marquise Brown, this is weird. You're talking about how he's good. He 1 year, $7 million. What's going on here? Why is he not signing for Gabe Davis money, Ridley money, that type of stuff? Well, I think one, injury history, that's kind of concerning. And two, he gets to choose where he wants to be. He chose the Chiefs. And I think it's because he knows he can have really, really good statistics there, play with Patrick Mahomes, and hopefully get extended. I am very, very in on Marquise Brown. I'm very, very in on this move. I will leave you with my round one redraft rankings right now for best ball, for any kind of managed leagues that are already drafting. That way you can compare these to the market and see which players I like the best. My top 12, one, Christian McCaffrey, two, Ja'Marr Chase, three, Breece Hall, four, Bijan Robinson, five, CeeDee Lamb, six, Tyreek Hill. The back half at seven, Amon-Ra St. Brown. At eight, his teammate, Jahmyr Gibbs. Then Puka Nacua. Then Justin Jefferson. Sorry, good people. I think right now we should be taking Puka Nacua ahead of Justin Jefferson because he's catching passes for Matthew Stafford. And I just saw that Aaron Donald retired earlier today. Rams defense takes a big hit. They're going to have to pass quite a bit next year. So yeah, Puka at nine, Justin Jefferson at 10. We'll finish the first round with Garrett Wilson at 11, AJ Brown at 12. This has been The Dominator with Josh Larkey. Thank you, everyone.
Hey, I want to thank you for being part of this broadcast. If you have any thoughts on it, leave a comment. If you enjoyed it, make sure you leave a like. And if you want to see more shows on the Player Profiler channel, subscribe to it. That's how we know you want more.